Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're challenged to think beyond ourselves.
I am looking for God to raise a generation of singles who are on fire, not for someone of the opposite sex, but who are on fire for the glory of God, who ask themselves, I have extra money, extra time, extra devotion. How can I serve God?
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, today marks the conclusion of our series, Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. What a great and helpful series this has been. But Mark, as we wrap up this intensely personal series, let's spend a moment talking to those who find themselves single.
You know, I have conversations with single people all the time. And I hate to refer to them even as singles. That's a state, but they are individuals that are not married at the time. Oftentimes, the conversation centers around finding the right person. And I find that a lot are putting their life on hold.
Waiting
for that person.
Right.
And what I want to say is your life is not on hold. Fully engage in the state that you are in. There's certain things that you can do right now that you probably won't be able to do as married or having children. And so I want to say, stop putting your life on hold, engage the season that you're in, enjoy it, live fully for God, throw yourself in time as you pursue God and as you pursue the things of God. I believe that God will grant many of you the desires of your heart to be married, but don't put your life on hold waiting for marriage to happen.
What great advice. Thank you, Mark. Well, let's dive into our final message in the series. Pastor Mark has titled this, To Marry or Not to Marry is the Question.
And so the Apostle Paul puts it in perspective and he says, hey, if you can serve God better as a single, if you can serve God better as a married, then do so. But remember that your life is bigger than the here and now. You are living for something that is greater. This earth is going to pass away and all that's in it is going to pass away, but your soul will endure forever. Verse 32. I would like to be free from concern. I would like for you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. Now, Paul turns his attention and he says, you know, when you're single, if you really have the right focus as a single person, the main question as a single that you should be asking yourself is this: how can I serve God? You know, the funny thing about it is I run into very few singles that are asking themselves that question. It seems like I have a lot more singles that are asking themselves this question: how can I be happy? And what about me? What about me? And the Apostle Paul is saying, as a single individual, you are in a unique position if you don't have children, without children, without a marriage, without the responsibility of a family, you're in a unique position to ask yourself this question: how can I serve God with all of my mind, all of my body, all of my spirit, all of my time? How can I live fully devoted to God? He says, if you get married, you can't quite ask yourself that question because you can't just focus exclusively on your life in God, because you have to ask yourself, not only as a married man, you ask yourself, how can I please God? But you also have to ask yourself what? How do I please my wife? It is your responsibility to ask yourself this question: how can I take care of my wife? How can I provide for her needs? How can I deal with her. That's part of your new God-given responsibility. As a woman, when you're single, you can ask yourself this question: how can I live fully devoted to God? When you get married, you have to ask yourself this question: how can I live fully devoted to God? And how do I take care of my husband? How do I please my husband? How do I take care of my family? And so the Apostle Paul says your interests are divided. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to pull up today. I'm going to be a missionary in Africa for 2 years. Whoops, I forgot to ask my wife about it. Now you have to consider, is my wife going to want to go to Africa? Is she going to like to eat whatever they eat there? You have to ask yourself those questions. Because your interests are divided and God is giving you that responsibility. Now I have to say this. If God has called you to marriage and marriage is your calling, then it will be part of your joy and love to take care of your wife and your family. It won't be a burden. It won't be something that takes away. You can be just as godly being married as you are being single. You can be godly being single and godly being married, but life is less complicated if you are single and following God, asking yourself, how do I devote myself exclusively to God, than when you're married. How many of you understand that concept? Okay. Now, he goes on and says, I say this for your own good, verse 35, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Can I talk to you singles for just a moment? I am looking for God to raise a generation of singles who are on fire, not for someone of the opposite sex, but who are on fire for the holiness of God and the glory of God, who ask themselves, I have extra money, extra time, extra devotion. How can I serve God? Hey, I'm looking for a generation of radical singles that are saying, we are complete in Christ. We're not walking around bemoaning that we don't have a husband and feeling like second-class citizens, but we are happy and content and proud that God has called us in this situation, that we can devote our time, that we can serve, that we can give ourselves fully to God at this season, at this time. I'm looking for singles that have that kind of heart, that kind of passion. Not singles that are sort of in this self-pity, involved in and out of bad sexual impure relationships, bemoaning the fact they can't get a good relationship. I'm looking for singles that are godly and focused. Amen.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Today's final message from our Straight Talk series is titled, To Marry or Not to Marry is the Question. We'll continue with Mark in just a moment. Right now, we want to remind you that you can always find these programs and catch up on anything you might have missed by visiting boldstepsradio.org. Or subscribe to our podcast and take these messages with you wherever you go by searching your podcast app for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe, and then just tap that subscribe button. By the way, we'd also love to hear your story. We're so encouraged by every letter, email, and comment we receive about how these lessons have been applied and the impact God is making through bold, faithful teaching. So just click on the tab that says Be Bold Stories and share yours with our growing community. Or give us a call and leave your story on a recorded line by dialing 312-329-2011. That's 312-329-2011. Now let's return to our study in 1 Corinthians 7, because Mark Jobe has much more to say to those who are single and on fire for the Lord.
Verse 36, if anyone thinks he's acting improperly towards the virgin he's engaged to, and if she's getting along in years and he feels he ought to marry her, he should do as he wants. This is talking to an individual that's engaged to be married. And I guess some of the people were beginning to ask this question, should I really get married or is it better to be single? And the Apostle Paul talks about a man that's engaged to be married to a woman, and he says, hey, it's your choice. If the woman that you're engaged to, if she feels like she's getting along in years, boy, it was an issue back then, it's an issue today, isn't it? It's amazing to me how getting along in years, how young it comes these days. I mean, I've sat down with 18-year-olds who have broken up with their boyfriend after dating for 3 years. They're crying and says, but I'm already 18. I mean, am I ever going to find someone? 18? And I think there's a biological clock within a woman at times that, listen, I want to say that the biological clock inside of you should be your friend, not your enemy. It's better to get married later and good than early and bad. Hello. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, if you are engaged to a woman and she's getting along in years and he feels that they ought to marry, he should do as he wants. In other words, go ahead and get married to her. But, verse 37, the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does what is right. In other words, if he's determined, I'm not going to get married, then he needs to make sure that's clear. If you're not, hey, can I tell you something? If you're not going to get married to her, then stop stringing her along. Let me say that again. If you've been engaged for 4 years already, and it's never the right time because you got to buy the right car and you're waiting for the promotion and your yard is not quite done the way you want it to be and the things at work are kind of unstable and you're waiting for the right ring and it's been 4 years, listen, you either marry her or break up with her. Get on with it. Come on. Stop stringing her along. Let me talk to you women. If you're engaged to one of those guys who's looking for the perfect setting, who's been promising you to get married forever, but he wants the goods without the commitment, if you know what I'm talking about, and it's always, I love you, honey, I love you, and our wedding's going to be great, but he never commits to a time. He hasn't put it on the calendar. He hasn't nailed it down. He hasn't scheduled the reception. He hasn't rented the church. He hasn't bought the tux. Then you need to draw a line in the sand and say it's now or never. Okay? Because this person needs to decide. He needs to make up his mind whether he's going to marry or not marry. But if he does decide to not marry, it's okay. If he decides to be single, just don't take that person along with you. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better. Paul was a single, and he thought that you could serve God even better as an unmarried individual. Verse 39, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. Paul is making sure that everybody understands that this marriage commitment is not a tryout. You know, oftentimes today I feel like we're sort of testing it out to see if it works. When you come before God, it's not, I'm going to test it, I'm going to try it. If it's hard, I'm out of here. No, this is not a trial marriage. This is a marriage. A marriage means that God expects that this be a lifelong commitment. So if you're not ready to make a lifelong commitment, don't get married. People prepare more to give a driver's license typically than they prepare to get married. And a driver's license expires in 4 years. Your marriage doesn't. And so if you're going to get married, you need to understand, I am committing to this woman or to this man by the grace of God until one of us keels over. But we are committed to the very end. That's the commitment that you are making. Now, last week we talked about some of the exceptions of adultery and divorce and of immorality and so forth. But the mentality is, I am committed to this until death do us part. I remember having a conversation with a young man many years ago, and we sat down at a restaurant, and he told me that he was having difficulties with his fiancée. And he said to me, but I think she's going to change, right? I think God can change your right, Pastor? I said, listen, let's get something real straight right now. You are marrying who she is, not who you think she's going to become. Because if you can't live with her the way she is, then don't marry her. Because if you marry her, maybe she will change. But listen to me well, maybe she'll never change. And so you don't marry her saying, well, she's going to become a better woman. You're marrying who she is right now with the understanding she may be that way the rest of her life. That's your commitment. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? And the Apostle Paul goes on and says, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes. But then he qualifies it and he says, but he must belong to the Lord. If she dies, if her husband dies, that's okay. You can marry anyone, but he's got to be a Christian. We look at, oftentimes I run into a couple and they say, our personalities are compatible. And I say, that's great. Our lifestyles are compatible. I say, that's good. Our cultural backgrounds are compatible. That's great. But if your spiritual DNA is not compatible, then you have absolutely missed the mark. Let me say that again. If spiritually you are not on the same page, then you have no business getting married, because you will regret it for the rest of your life. If spiritually you are not on the same page, if you are not compatible spiritually, if you are not both following God with the same zeal, if you both have not made the same decision to commit yourself to Christ, if you're both not in the same direction, then you should make that the number one test of whether this individual is right or wrong for you. It's spiritual compatibility. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Are you talking about that they have to have the same church background? I'm not talking about church background. You can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will never find Baptists. You'll never find Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Assembly of God. You'll never find Catholic. You'll never find Seventh-day Adventist. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find God, a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit that transforms every aspect of your life. And the big question I have, if you love God, if Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of your life, if you've been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and are living for God, my question is, does that guy that you're dating, is he saved? Is he been baptized? Is he filled with the Holy Spirit? Does he love Jesus, or do you drag him to church? You say, well, Pastor, he comes to church with me. Yeah, you bribe him with free lunch afterwards. That's why he comes. I mean, does he come on his own? Does he hunger for God? Because when the wedding ceremony is over and you've gone to your homes and you're 3 years into your marriage and you're coming to church alone, and the very core of your heart, the very most important thing of your life, which is your relationship with Jesus Christ, when you want to raise your kids that way, when you want to set your priorities that way, when you want to love God, when you want to tithe, when you want to share, when you want to talk to people about Jesus, when you want to pray together as a family, when you want to have family devotions, when you want someone to sit down and lead your son to Christ, the question is, will your husband be there to do that? Or will you be dragging your kids to church by yourself while your husband stays back and watches a Bears game? Will you be the spiritual leader? Or will you have a man that rises up and says, this is my household. I will lead my household to godliness. I will pray for my wife. I will teach my children. I will provide. I will be faithful to her. I have a faith that's strong. Is that the reality? Listen, if you can't say that about your fiance, then you have no business with that fiance, because you will live to regret it. So he says, but he must belong to the Lord. Verse 40. In my judgment, she's happier if she stays as she is. In other words, if the widow stays single, Paul says, I would rather she stay single, and I think that I too have the Spirit of the Lord. The bottom line with this passage is this. God is calling you and I to contentment. God is calling you and I to embrace, if you're single, embrace your singleness. If God has called you to marriage, as we've seen before, then pursue a godly husband. Make sure he's a man of God. If you're a man, pursue a godly wife. Make sure she's a woman of God. I'm glad she's all that. And I'm glad you like the way she looks, but she's got a heart and a soul and a spirit too. And you better pay close attention to her heart and soul and spirit, because ultimately that's going to matter most. And don't make a decision in the midst of crisis. Put God at the center of your life, because even marriage and singleness is short term, only for this life. There's a life that comes after, so live for God all the way. Amen.
Our time here on this little planet is but a vapor. You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, the conclusion to a powerful series on relationships called Straight Talk. Over the last 12 programs, we've talked about everything from singleness to marriage and even sex. Mark's left no stone unturned, but in case you missed a single lesson of this relevant series, be sure to go to our website and catch up when you can at boldstepsradio.org.
You know, so great to have in our studio once again, Dr. Thrasher, Dr. Bill Thrasher. He's been a professor here at Moody for 44 years.
Amazing,
that's
huh?
A long time. Mm. And just a real beloved professor on campus, teaches on a lot of topics, including the topic of prayer. And he's written a book called How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. And so, Dr. Thrasher, so good to have you here. I have a question for you. There's a lot of Christians that express a desire for a better prayer life, and their confusion is really how to get started. So many people are looking for some simple fix or a secret method or... But, Bill, you've written a book on what it actually takes to resurrect a dead prayer life.
And you know, I think the starting point, and I personalize this because it's very unflattering, but if I think a person comes to God and they confess, Lord, in and of myself, I don't really care about anybody but me. That's very unflattering, but that is true of our flesh.
Yeah.
And yet God is not pleased with that. He says, these people honor me with their lips, their heart is far from me. There's Isaiah the prophet, there's no one who arouses himself to take hold of God. So he has better for it. And so what he does is we come to him with our need, but there's incredible promises to the needy. I like that prayer in Psalm 72, save or deliver the children of the needy. I always felt like my children qualified. he sets Psalm 107, he sets the needy securely on high away from affliction. The upright see it and are glad, and all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Jeremiah says, it does not lie within us to direct our path. I'm a sheep. I'm not supposed to be smart enough to guide my life, although I need guidance. If you want to be wise, you got to be foolish. So when we see as our need, as the Corrie ten Boom just say, don't treat prayer as your spare tire in a case of emergency. You need it, but no, it's your engine. And so God wants to help us. He can develop fervency in our prayer life if we look to the Spirit to motivate, guide, and empower our prayer life. And that's what the book is about.
I love that. So if you've been struggling this year or recently to say, I really need a fresh awakening in my prayer life, I think that this is divine. These words right here that you're hearing over this station, I think God is speaking to your heart. It's time to resurrect that dead prayer life.
So take that first simple step and request your copy of this Bold Step gift. We'll send it to you right away when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. Just give us a call at 800-DL-MOODY. Again, that's 800-356-6639. Or give online at boldstepsradio.org. Or send your gift and request the book in the mail. Address your letter to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And I'll give that one more time, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610.
And when you commit to giving a monthly gift of any amount, we'll add your name to our growing list of partners. It's easy to become a Bold Partner. When your gift is $30 or more each month, we'll also send you some special bonuses, like a signed copy of Mark's book, Unstuck. There's also access to our Bold Partner post and a series of video messages from Mark designed to equip and encourage you each month. You'll also qualify for a 50% discount on all items at the Moody Publishers online store. So sign up today online at boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. It's been a pleasure to come alongside you in this special study called Straight Talk. But be sure to join us tomorrow when we'll begin our next mini-series called Where is Jesus? If you've ever been in a tough spot and found yourself asking that question, be sure to listen Thursday to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.